Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob, we're going to have to change the open. I mean, I was named back-to-back best sports talk host on the pitch. I was defeated this election cycle by Bob Fesco. So I have won two out of the last 3 years. I was a runner-up. Don't really care about whether I won or lost. Just happy to keep it in the family. We actually had 1, 2, 3 here at the station. Fesco was one, I was two, and Cody Tapp was number three. So as long as we are all the ones on the medal stand, I don't really care what order that they come in, but we're going to have to change a couple of things. We got to get rid of that tuna casserole line in the hits. It's terrible. And we also got to change the open a little bit. I am no longer the back-to-back people's champion when it comes to that category anymore. I have won two out of the last 3 years. I'm basically kind of like the Chiefs. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl two of the last 3 years. That's who I am. I am the Chiefs. If I'm the Chiefs, Rob, what does that make you? Are you also the Chiefs?
I've never been nominated, so I guess that makes me the Panthers?
Okay, you know what? You're on my team, though, so I don't think you can be the Panthers. Why don't we just do it like this? I'm Patrick Mahomes, and you can be James Winchester. That's who you can be in this scenario. That's a fair comparison to the role that we both have on this show. I'll be Travis Kelce, and you'll be Peyton Hendershot. I think that's a pretty fair comparison of the amount of work that is done on this show. We have so much to get into in today's show. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk to Alex Gold. We'll get his thoughts on what he's hearing about Amendment 2. When are you going to be able to play some sports bets in the state of Missouri? John Goodman is going to be on the show. I mean, I guess Kansas plays an important basketball game
Jeff
tomorrow.
Jeff Goodman, by the way.
Who did I say?
You said John, not the actor from Roseanne.
That would be incredible. If we had John Goodman coming on the show today, he wouldn't be coming on at 3 o'clock. He'd be coming on at 5 o'clock. So Jeff Goodman's going to be on the show to talk about Kansas and their game tomorrow against North Carolina. Mark Schlereth is going to be on the show. He works with Danny on the Breakfast Ball on FS1. He also played for the Denver Broncos. So there is a lot happening on the show today. We are so happy that you are here. We're actually going to start today's show with Thursday Night Football, a pretty important AFC matchup, the Bengals and the Ravens. They play in about 4.5 hours or so. So we'll get to that coming up after we give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Caller number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friend over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all around this city. They got some in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether in the mood for a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me 3 favors today. I'm being a little bit needy. Number 1, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number 2, if you like pizza, tell your friends about the show. And also, tell Rob that he is a valuable contributing member to the show, and I and you appreciate him dearly. If you do all 3 of those things and you're caller number 6, we will just give you a pizza to Pizza Tasio. That's really all you have to do every day right here at 2 o'clock. All right, this is where I would like to begin today's show. Rob, I'm happy that you are here. This is an important game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Far more important for the Bengals than it is for the Ravens. I don't question on whether or not the Ravens are making the postseason, but when it comes to Cincinnati, and I was watching ESPN earlier today, you know, been trying to eat breakfast a little bit more frequently, woke up, got me a bowl of cereal, you know. I've been eating Special K. That's how you know, Rob, I'm starting to get old. I bought a box of Special K. I saw it. It had little strawberries. Like, oh, that sounds kind of tasty. So I bought some. Been eating it for breakfast. I watched my television. And every week they spin the wheel on who the biggest competitor is for the Kansas City Chiefs. One week it'll be Baltimore. One week it'll be Buffalo. One week the Chiefs don't want to see the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, today they spun the wheel and it fell back on the Cincinnati Bengals. And you know what the conversation about the Bengals is. Well, if they get right, all right, we're 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving. We're past Halloween. Some of you already have your Christmas tree up, and Cincinnati is still under 500. Sure, we can play that. Well, you know, they always start slow, but remember that time they went to the Super Bowl? All right, that's cool. It's week 10 of the NFL season. They're 4-5. Let me read you the wins that the Cincinnati Bengals have, because we play this game with the Chargers. We play this game with the Broncos. Well, who have you played? Who have you beaten? Let's play that game with the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's play that game with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and Chase Brown, who's having a great start to his season. Let's play this game with T. Higgins. These are the 4 wins for the Cincinnati Bengals: Carolina, New York, Cleveland, and Vegas. Let's be clear about the teams that Cincinnati has beaten so far this season. All of them have either changed their quarterback or are in the process of changing their quarterback. Daniel Jones will not be starting for the New York Giants next year. Cleveland lost their quarterback, and their quarterback shouldn't have been starting to begin with. And Vegas, they're on their backup quarterback. They're also about to take another team's quarterback. When they have played good, capable teams this season, they've been outclassed. They played Kansas City earlier this year. They lost. They played Washington earlier this year. They lost. They played Baltimore. They lost. They played Philadelphia. They lost. What has Cincinnati done so far this season that would make you believe that they are going to go on the road on a short week and beat the Baltimore Ravens, a team that is more complete than they are, a team that is more consistent than what they are? Would I be absolutely stunned if Cincinnati won this game? No. I saw a stat earlier today. Joe Burrow is 16-2 against the spread as an underdog. So this is a Bengals team that is still clearly going to fight. They're still a competitive team, and they are very much in the mix. But at some point, you got to be over 500. At some point, you got to start beating teams that matter, especially in a division that is starting to run away from you. Baltimore is running away from you. And if Baltimore wins today, and they've already beaten you in your venue, if Baltimore wins today, they are going to have the tiebreaker against you. Cincinnati still hasn't played either of their 2 games against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're talking about a situation where you have burned up a lot of the goodwill in regards to winning your division. Going to be pretty tough. There's not really a pathway to doing that if you don't win today against the Baltimore Ravens. You will be 4-6. They have not shown me any reason to believe that they're going to be consistent and get hot in the second half of the season. Could they still grab one of those wild card spots, Rob, and put themselves in the conversation? So if you're looking at how the playoffs would shake out right now, the four divisional leaders, Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Houston, and the three wild card teams would be Baltimore, the Chargers, and the Denver Broncos. Now, Cincinnati is in the others receiving votes category in this conversation. Indianapolis is 4-5. Cincinnati is 4-5. And the Jets are 3-6. I'm not a believer in that team. We've talked about it. There are probably 8 teams fighting for 7 spots. We already know that some of those spots are already taken. Kansas City is making the postseason. Buffalo is making the postseason. I think that Baltimore, I'm still a little bit on the fence about Pittsburgh. I think it's much more likely that they falter in the second half of the season because of their schedule and how difficult it is. And I think you have to put Houston also in the postseason. So we're talking about, we think there's 5 teams that right now, if I asked you, give me your AFC locks, we think there's 5 teams that are going to be in. We still got another 2 months in this season. So we're talking about 3, maybe 4 teams fighting for those final 2 spots. If you're Cincinnati, you've given up enough ground at this point. You're 4-5. It's not early anymore. We're in week 10 of the NFL season. You kind of are what you are at this point. Are you consistent enough? Are you healthy enough to get hot and start rattling off some games? You got a difficult stretch here. You go on the road and play Baltimore, on the road and play the Chargers, who are a playoff team right now, and you also play the Pittsburgh Steelers. So your next 3 games to finish out the month of November, you play 3 possible playoff teams. The Bengals have just not shown me any level of consistency that would suggest that they're going to come out of that stretch fine. I think they go 1-2 in that stretch. I don't have Cincinnati making the postseason. I'm not really sure if they're going to be super competitive, Rob, and get themselves back in it where it's going to be an argument coming up around Christmas time on whether or not Cincinnati is making it to the postseason.
I think tonight is the linchpin of Cincinnati's season, because I think everything you're saying is correct. If Cincinnati loses tonight, it's kind of over. 4-6, another tough game next week. Like, you're starting to show they have a bye week, so then their next game after that is December. Like, if you're 4-6, 5-6 headed into December, are you really a playoff team? You got to get 4 or 5 wins in a month and a half, and through 3 months you only have 5? That's a very difficult task. That's a very uphill climb. Conversely, though, if the Bengals can win tonight, if they can go on the road and beat Baltimore in Baltimore, which I don't think is an outlandish thought with how Joe Burrow played against the Raiders, albeit the Raiders, suddenly you're 500. You now have the long week going into a tough game. You win that one and you have a bye week, and suddenly you're what, 6-5 at the bye? Then the math starts to come in the Bengals' favor. And I think, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's Lou Anarumo, I don't know if it's Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, the rivalry, the talking, I don't know. The Bengals seem to always play the Chiefs tight. Sometimes they beat them, sometimes they don't, but you've never seen a blowout in that Bengals and Chiefs game. So with their season hanging in the balance tonight, if you are a Chiefs fan, you're all in on the Ravens. I don't want to see that team. I don't want a close game in the playoffs, especially against a possible 7 seed. No, thank you. Cincinnati's season is on the brink tonight, and Chiefs fans need to be all in on Baltimore and their weird throwback alternate jerseys.
Let's talk about that more on the other side, and if Chiefs fans should be actively sort of rooting for Baltimore today to somewhat eliminate the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll talk about that more coming up on the other side. We're also going to have Alex Gold join us on the show today. He's going to tell us a little bit more about Amendment 2, when, if you live in the Missouri side, you're going to be able to place a sports bet. Maybe you work over here and you want to place a bet while you're over here. We'll answer those questions with Alex Gold coming up in a little bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have Alex Gold join the show here coming up in a little bit. And he just said one of the best thoughts that I've heard about the way that we discuss and talk about Cincinnati. He said, I want Cincinnati to lose today. So this was in our group chat. We got a group chat with everybody that works here. Usually it's people just arguing with Sean Barber about various things. All of us, we just kind of take our turn. One day it's Cody arguing with them. Some days it's me. Some days it's Rob. We just basically take our turns arguing with Barbershop because it's a fun activity. And Gold said that he wants Cincinnati to lose today because he is tired of talking about a 4-win team like they're an 8-win team. I'm kind of inclined to agree with him about Cincinnati. We've given Cincinnati a lot of chances to kind of capture our attention. You want to know when they could have got me back into it? It was the home game against Philadelphia. That's what it was. They were 3-4 at that point, and they had a home game against a good football team. That's when they could have got me back into it. They lost 37-17 in that game. So sure, they beat up on Deshaun Watson and Cleveland. Sure, they beat up on the Las Vegas Raiders. They beat up on the New York Giants. If they have played a team that you think is remotely competitive, they've lost. They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Washington. They lost to Baltimore. They lost to Philadelphia. So I understand the sentiment, Rob, that you had before the break. Hey, I'm rooting for the Ravens today. Just eliminate Cincinnati because they play Kansas City tough and I want to avoid them. Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm not going to sit here and tell you otherwise. Baltimore, we think, is going to make the postseason. So you'd rather be in a situation where Baltimore, you know, is going to make it. They only strengthen that point, and you have less kind of pitfall teams. But I do think what we've done with Cincinnati since they won that AFC championship game is, I mean, since they've kind of peaked, they've kind of fallen off a little bit. They fell off last year. A lot of that was attributed to injuries. They've been mostly healthy this year. Sure, T. Higgins has been a little bit banged up, but T. Higgins has now been banged up for 2 years. You got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Joe Burrow, you got enough of those pieces. They got a capable run game. My biggest issue with Cincinnati just as a whole, they haven't really evolved over the course of the last couple of years. Think about all the different versions of the Chiefs that we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years. The Chiefs went from being one of the 5 best offenses in the history of the National Football League. We've seen them turn it around and win because of defense. We've seen them do it with Tyreek Hill. We've seen them do it without Tyreek Hill. We have seen every version of the Chiefs have success. They've evolved over time. Hell, they've evolved this season. We've seen them go from a team that you thought they were going to be the Legion of Zoom and they're bringing it back to now a team that runs it 24, 25 times with Kareem Hunt. Whatever issues you think that Cincinnati has today, they have the exact same issues 4 years ago. This is a team that still can't block. This is a team that still gets off to rough starts. This is a team that's still treading water in the middle of the season. We have seen every other contending team in the AFC evolve over time. Say what you want about the Ravens. We have seen Lamar and that team evolve over time. We have seen Buffalo do it with Diggs, without Diggs. We've seen Josh Allen do it with no running game. He currently has a running game. We've seen Buffalo kind of stand the test of time. As of now, Cincinnati feels like a fad. They were a gigapet. They were cool. Yeah, it was a great run. We all had a Gigapet. We all had a Tamagotchi back in the day. You're not playing with those anymore. That's kind of what it feels like Cincinnati was. They were a fad. They were hot for a short amount of time. You loved them. They were competitive. They were a lot of fun. But as time wore on, the traditional brands kept on winning. The Chiefs, that's a brand name. Buffalo has become a brand name. Baltimore has become a brand name. Cincinnati feels like a fidget spinner. They were really hot for a short period of time, and we've spent the last 18 months talking about them like they deserve to be in the conversation of those other teams, despite playing below 500 football since losing to the Super Bowl to Los Angeles.
I don't disagree with you on the field, and I don't disagree with you from a national perspective. If you were doing your serious radio show, I would 100% agree with you. If we were doing radio in the Bay Area, you're right, Seattle, I agree. I think one of the reasons the Bengals keep coming up in Kansas City is because they are the obvious rival to the Chiefs.
That's fair.
Now, part of that is on the field. Don't get me wrong. They have been a near 500 team against the Chiefs on the field, and that's not incredible, but it's one of the better teams. But also, let's be honest, the Bengals players get under the Chiefs players' skin, and Bengals fans get under Chiefs fans' skin. That's why we talk about them. They are good enough where you cannot ignore them, and they are loud enough where you can't shout them down. They are just the perfect rival. You said this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Sunflower Showdown. Do K-State and KU fans really care? Not really. But KU and Mizzou still care. You want to know why? Mizzou fans know how to get under KU fans' skin. And vice versa. That's the Chiefs and the Bengals. The results on the field, logic is sound. But in Kansas City, why they keep coming up, why we keep talking about them despite the fact they're 4-5, why we open the show with, hey, Thursday Night Football is a big one, despite the fact it's a 4-5 third-place team on the road on a short week banged up against a first-place team, is because the Bengals are the Chiefs' rival. And whether Chiefs fans want to admit it or not, they enjoy watching the Bengals as a hate watch. They were probably keeping an eye on Red Zone on Sunday, pissed that the Raiders couldn't beat the Bengals. And when the Eagles were thumping them, oh, did Chiefs fans enjoy a moment on social media. The reason they get talked about is logically what you're saying, correct, and we should stop, but it won't stop because those two teams do not like each other.
And everything you're saying is accurate and makes sense. But to Alex's point, and we can ask Alex about that more coming up in 5 minutes when he joins the show, is you know, as a Chiefs fan, you are not going to the Super Bowl without having to play Lamar Jackson at some point. At some point, the Chiefs are going to have to beat Josh Allen. Whether it's the regular season, postseason, you know that's the case, right? Like, at some point, they're going to do it. We kind of talk about Cincinnati like it's inevitable that the Chiefs are going to have to overcome them in the postseason when they didn't make the postseason last year, and I don't think they're making the postseason this year. The reason Buffalo keeps coming up is Buffalo has been consistent and good. The reason Baltimore keeps coming up is because they've been consistent and good. Cincinnati, they are the least consistent team of any of the good teams that we talk about in the league. They're less consistent than the Cowboys have been. Give me another team that we kind of prop up as a top 10 team or a dangerous team or a contender that has been more inconsistent in the last 18 months than the Cincinnati Bengals. I really don't think that team exists. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be joined by Alex Gold. Yesterday, we had the mayor of Kansas City join us on the show. Here is what he said he thinks the timetable is for betting to go live in the state of Missouri.
Secretary of State, who I don't think is a fan of this amendment or most, has until I think about mid-December to certify the results. They'll do that, so look for that being December 10th-ish, 15th-ish. Then you go through a further process, state administratively, where they have to wait, I think, up to 20 days. That gets you then into January. After January, then it becomes the law, and it's a constitutional right, actually, to sports bet, which is fascinating in how we do it, but it's what you got to do, and the legislature won't do anything. And then after that, they promulgate rules. That's going to be what actually takes time. You go to the office administration, there's a Missouri Gaming Commission, they're going to promulgate those rules. It should be fairly quickly for them to do it right. So I think this is a probably 60 to 90 day window. I think if we're being ambitious, we say you can bet by the Super Bowl. Certainly, I think if you're not betting by March Madness, then they started slowing it down way too much. But that would be a first quarter of 2025 sort of thing. And unfortunately, y'all got to keep driving for the rest of the NFL season.
So I just saw a story. It literally just popped up in my timeline. This is from sportsbettingdime.com, so certainly feels like a reputable source. And they got a quote from Jan M. Zimmerman. She is a chair on the Missouri Gaming Commission, so certainly a reputable source here. And she tells the website, quote, "We are hoping for the summer. There are a whole lot of administrative things that have to happen before we can do that, not the least of which crafting the rules and regulations that are going to work for us in the state of Missouri." Quote, "Optimistically, we are shooting for mid to late summer. It is not utmost in our mind that we need to get this done before the next football season, but it is just that we really need to do our due diligence, check all of our boxes, and get all of the steps taken care of. And if that happens before the football season, so much for the better." So we can keep reading this story. I am curious to get Alex Gold's thoughts on this. He's very plugged in to this world. I mean, Amendment 2 was passed. We know that sports gambling is coming to the state of Missouri. The question now that I think a lot of you want to know is just when. When is this going to be a thing? So they have to have it in place by December 1st of next year. They obviously are not going to wait that long to do it. The mayor's timeline, Rob, sounds to me a little bit optimistic. Are they going to be able to get this thing done in the next 60 to 75 days? Probably not. But I think a realistic goal for them should be, can we get this up by March Madness? Can we get this up by March Madness? That gives you way more than enough time. Think about when the Super Bowl is and when March Madness is. That's another, what, 4 to 5 weeks of getting this thing done? I mean, the rules and regulation, this thing is now active in 39 of the 50 states. There are only 11 states yet that have not approved sports gambling. So it's not like you don't have the template of how this works around the country. Every state that touches Missouri other than Oklahoma has legalized sports gambling. So what worked in Kansas? What worked in Arkansas? What worked in Nebraska? What worked in Iowa? This seems like something that should be able to figure out. I'm not going to make it seem like I know all of the ins and outs, but mid to late summer of next year, we haven't even started winter yet. You're telling me that you think it takes 2 full seasons? And I'm not talking sports seasons. We think it takes all of winter and all of spring in order to get this done when there's so many templates around the country. So we obviously will see. We'll catch up with Alex Gold here coming up momentarily, but I wanted to pass you guys the information from Jan M. Zimmerman. She is one of the chairs on the Missouri Gaming Commission, and she says that they are targeting for, optimistically, mid to late summer. Let's go to the phone lines right now. I'll be joined by Alex Gold. He is on our midday show. He is our gambling expert. Alex, how you doing, man?
What's up? I'm good, man. I'm doing pretty good. I'm definitely excited that finally sports wagering is coming to Missouri.
Alex, but I do want to ask you about Amendment 2, but before we do this, give us one of your locks for Thursday night football, because whatever you say your lock is, I want to fade it and do the opposite.
Well, look, a couple things. I like Mark Andrews to go over his receiving total. Cincinnati is terrible against tight ends, and Isaiah Likely is not going to play. And I also like the under. I know these two teams put up a lot of points, and their defense is a struggle, but on Thursday Night Football, there's a trend that's out there since 2003. Totals of over 52 points, and this game, I think, is at 52.5. The under is 14-5-1 since 2003, so I like the underdog.
Alex, what are you hearing in regards to Amendment 2? You heard the interview yesterday with the mayor of Kansas City. He seemed pretty optimistic. I just read a story from Sports Betting Dime. They think it's going to take more mid to late summer before next football season. What are your sources telling you? What are you hearing regarding this?
So I had always heard early 2025, you know, so more so around March Madness time potentially. I did hear the mayor yesterday speak with you, and look, I appreciate the optimism. I would love for him to be correct on that. I think the Super Bowl is way early. I think that's way too optimistic. You look at the turnaround time to launch. In Kansas, it was the quickest launch we've seen out of the 39 states at the time, I guess 38 states that had launched, and that was 70-some-odd days from a May bill passage to implementation on Labor Day a couple of years ago. So I just don't see February being realistic. You think about the results being certified in early December, then to flip it around by February 9th, I just don't believe that. We'll see. The summer definitely is in play. March is an option, but I would say percentage-wise, feel way more confident that it's a July, August, September launch than anything.
All right, that is our guy, Alex Gold, joining us on the show. Alex, you know what? We would have you on the show a little bit longer, but it sounds like you were in a pouring rainstorm.
I am driving to go talk to our friends down at Max Motors to go test drive some new cars.
So. Are you about to buy a new car? What's going on?
No, we talk about that. Hey, if I'm going to buy a car, that's where I'm going to buy it from. So we'll be talking more about them a lot on the air.
Hold on. Who's doing your endorsements? They're not getting me no car endorsements. What's going on, Alex?
No, I'm at Max Motors. They're my friends at Max Motors. They hooked us up with a truck up at training camp a couple years ago, and we're going to start doing some more with them.
All right, we have to poach your business. That's Alex Gold joining us on the show today. I want to know who Alex Agent is. They're not working hard for me. They're not working for us. We need Max Motors. Where's Bill Motors at on this show, Rob? You need a car? You need something? Alex couldn't stay 10 minutes to come on the show?
I mean, he
was busy?
I wouldn't turn down a car.
No, I get it. No, I definitely understand.
If he was like, hey, stay in the studio, go get a car. I would pick a car too.
No, I get it. I understand. Let me ask you this question. I'll ask you guys this question as well. 913-586-7965. Can a division game be a trap game? Because usually we kind of say a trap game is a bad AFC team or a random team in the NFC. Like if they were playing the Giants this week, people would be throwing out the trap game. It's sandwiched in between Monday Night Football and a game on the road against the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs will be looking forward. Not a good team. Can't get up on a week-by-week basis. That's the kind of stuff we would be saying if the Chiefs were playing the Giants this week. But they're playing the Broncos. The Broncos are actually kind of decent this year. The Broncos have been a pretty decent team. Is it possible for a division game to be a trap game, or does the fact that this game is a division game, do we think this locks Kansas City in and they go out there and take care of business against the Denver Broncos? The weird thing when discussing the Chiefs is it's kind of hard right now, I think, to predict them to go and blow out anybody. I'm sure some of you think the Chiefs are going to win 34-7. I don't know why you would think that, just based off how the last 12 Chiefs games have gone. They just don't really blow teams out. This is a game that they probably could blow Denver out. They probably should blow Denver out. But we watched enough Chiefs games to know that I don't care who they were playing. They could be playing Denver. They could be playing Buffalo. They could be playing Carolina. I can't explain it. This game's just going to be close in the second half. It's going to be close. I don't know exactly what the score is going to be. I don't know how. I don't know what, the when, the where, the why. I don't have any of those answers. But we've seen enough Chiefs games to know that at some point in the third quarter, you are going to be frustrated. You know they're going to win. You're just going to be frustrated. Just like your kid. You know your kid can do better. All they have to do is apply themselves. And the Chiefs, they usually apply themselves in the fourth quarter. The Chiefs have one of those. All right, we're done playing around. They have one of those drives. One time every game. They usually save it for later in the game. They could go up, 17-0. They'll be up 10-0. They could have that drive then and just really create some distance, but that's never when they decide to do it. They usually reserve it for the second half of the game. So do you think, Rob, that because this game is a division game, do you think that makes it ineligible of being a trap game for the Broncos? Because it has all of the makings of trap game.
So I believe that division games can, in fact, be trap games. I would point to last year on Christmas. Didn't that have all the makings of a trap game? It was a weird week. They were playing at home. The Bengals were on the horizon. That was the Chiefs last year, Christmas. The Raiders came to town. The Raiders had Aiden O'Connell, who is hopeless.
Not good. Yeah.
They had Antonio Pierce, who they shouldn't have hired full-time, but at the time, he was an interim. It was CBS, Nance, and Romo. It was supposed to be a party with Santa Claus at Arrowhead. And then it was supposed to be time to gear up and get ready for the hated Bengals the ensuing week. But what happened in reality? The Raiders came in here and they beat the Chiefs. So I do believe division games can be trap games.
This is the only thing I'll push back on, and I do want you to finish. The Chiefs went 4-4 in the final 8 games last year. So I just don't know if we can automatically point to the last time they lost as, oh, that was a trap game. The Chiefs were just kind of inconsistent in the second half of the season. And I think the Raiders game just continued their inconsistent. This team's not inconsistent. They win every single week. And we used to talk about any given Sunday. Like, the Chiefs were kind of good for this early on in Andy Reid's career. They would just lose a game that didn't make any sense. Remember that time they lost to the Giants when Travis Kelce threw a pass? Or they lost to the Colts a couple of years ago at home on Sunday Night Football? Like, it was kind of known, hey, the Chiefs at one point, they're just going to have one of those games. They usually don't have two of those games in a season. They usually just have one game that you kind of say, what's going on? They have avoided those games basically all season. All of the games that are 50-50 that have tripped up Buffalo, that have tripped up Baltimore, that have tripped up Detroit and some of these other teams, and the Chiefs are the only team that just seem like that logic just doesn't really apply to them. So I think kind of once you get past this game against Denver, I'm not really sure if we can kind of throw that trap game scenario out there too many more times kind of moving forward. Like, I wouldn't consider the Raiders at home on Black Friday to be a trap game. We're talking about a team that's 11-0 at that point. We're past the trap game. I mean, if you want to argue that on the road against Carolina is a trap game, you guys can be my guest. I will not be arguing that with Carolina. That is, they have been one of the three worst teams in the NFL now for going on three seasons. If you lose to them, that ain't a trap. They're just bad. Like, you got to play poorly. You got to play bad to lose to Carolina. And this team, they've got their flaws. They usually don't play down to a team like Carolina, certainly not late in the season. This kind of feels like the last time, if you want to wave the flag of, oh, watch out for the trap, it's this one. Monday Night Football game, short week, sandwiched in between their biggest game of the regular season against Buffalo. If there's any game in which the Chiefs come out and don't play with the necessary energy to win, it would be at home against the Denver Broncos, sandwiched in between those two games.
Let me ask you this about the definition of trap, because I think we're maybe saying the same thing, just differently. Looking at that stretch around Christmas, would you call any of those games a trap based on the schedule and how it shakes out? Because the Browns could feasibly be a trap game. The Browns are the first game before it's Texans Steelers, basically in a 3-day stretch. Like, does Browns fall into that? Because I would say the only two traps on the schedule, so to speak, are this Sunday and that Browns game. Every other game, I believe the Chiefs will get up for. Now, they might lose, you know, just because you're fired up and ready to go does not mean you play your best. But I think the Chiefs can play down and beat the Panthers. I don't think the Chiefs are going to play down to the Bills. I don't think the Chiefs are going to play down to the Texans. I don't think they're going to play down to the Steelers. Maybe the schedule kills them or injuries or what have you. But I think the only two traps left on the schedule are Sunday and that Sunday against the Browns. And I also think maybe this is a very fan mindset, and it's very possible that's true. Noon games feel way more trappish to me than anywhere else, because you're just part of the wash in the NFL cycle. Noon on a Sunday, there is nothing special about that feeling. Nothing unique, nothing, ooh, can you believe we got, I think they have the B crew on CBS. So, like, the fact that it's noon Sunday, it's kind of, oh, ho-hum, but the Bills are next week. It feels like it has the makings of a trap game. And I think division games can, in fact, be trap games, and this one has the feel of it. It also, to add to the trap feeling, Denver got embarrassed last weekend. You figure they're not getting embarrassed two weekends in a row. So it does have some makings of trap to me.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, there's no such thing as a trap game because teams in the NFL don't look ahead. Players might not even know they play the Bills next week. Sometimes it's just energy levels might not be high for an opponent. The Chiefs know they're playing Buffalo next week. There are certain games that they know. I know they tell you. I know they have you convinced. I mean, didn't we see on quarterback? And haven't we also seen just how the Chiefs respond to other teams when they start talking? They know they play Buffalo next week. There are some games that you know the Chiefs get up for and they pay attention to. And they live in the real world like us. It's hard to escape the fact that it feels like the two best teams in the AFC are on another collision course to play each other here coming up again. If there are a couple of teams that I know Kansas City keeps up with, it's Baltimore and Buffalo. You kind of have to do that in the AFC. So maybe it's a little bit different because the Chiefs just don't really march. They march by the beat of a different drum because they're the best team in it. But trust me, the Chiefs know who's on the schedule next week. And if you win these next two games, it's just going to be nearly impossible for anybody to catch you in regards to being the one seed in the AFC. Coming up on the other side, Rob, did you know that we are 1 month away from deciding who wins the Heisman Trophy? Let's go through who we think the finalists are going to be and who would have my early vote. Keep it right here, so Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. We'll get back to the NFL here coming up in a bit. We're also going to catch up with Jeff Goodman, who covers college basketball, coming up at the top of the hour. I mean, I guess KU plays an important game this weekend. I mean, we got to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, but Rob says that we have to, and Rob's the boss. All right. I want to share some numbers with you guys because I think that we have been told a lie. Now, I don't want you guys to take this like I don't think that Charles Woodson isn't amazing, because he is. But, Rob, you know that we have been told for our entire life, well, Charles Woodson won it because he played on both sides of the ball. Do you know how many yards receiving Charles Woodson actually had back in 1997? Do you know how many he had, Rob? Charles Woodson that year had 231 receiving yards and had 15 yards rushing. And in special teams, Rob, he didn't have a kick return that year. He only had punt returns and scored one touchdown, the famous one in which he hits the Heisman post. Now, again, I'm not telling you that Charles Woodson is not incredible. I'm not telling you that he didn't deserve the Heisman Trophy. But we have already kind of set a standard that if you are an exceptional two-way player, that you should be the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. Then why are we pushing back on Travis Hunter in any capacity? Now, Travis Hunter this season has 60 catches for 757 yards and 8 touchdowns. Travis Hunter is in line to be a first-team All-American wide receiver. That is not what Charles Woodson was his junior year at Michigan. He was fine. He was not what Travis Hunter was. And Travis Hunter is also in line to be first-team All-American at cornerback. So you're telling me that not only is he one of the two or three best wide receivers in the country, you also think he's one of the two or three best defensive backs in the country? And you guys are trying to tell me about Cam Ward to win the Heisman Trophy? Now, don't get me wrong. Cam Ward is having an incredible season. He really is. He's having a phenomenal season. Rob, you and I at the beginning of the season told people to watch out for Miami. I picked Miami to win the ACC. I saw a vision. Cam Ward has 29 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions. He's the quarterback of an undefeated team. This is the biggest argument I have against Cam Ward. There will be another one next year. There's going to be another quarterback on a good team, and they are in line to win the Heisman Trophy. We've given it to Cam Ward a bunch of times. Bryce Young was him. We've given it to him. We've given it to that player. There has never been a player in college football like Travis Hunter. He is the embodiment of the award. That's not to say that Ashton Jeanty is not having an incredible season, and he definitely deserves to go to New York. That is not to say that Cam Ward isn't having a great season or Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. All of those guys are having phenomenal seasons. But I don't know how you can have an award that on the picture, it is a guy holding and running the football, and it reads most outstanding college football player, and you are arguing that anybody has been more outstanding than Travis Hunter has been this year. It's no contest to me. Colorado is a very average football team. They're incredibly average. They have two very special players. They have a quarterback that's going to go in the top 10 in next year's NFL draft, and they have a once-in-a-lifetime college football player also on their team. How are we arguing to give it to other people? This is how my ballot would look today. My ballot would be Travis Hunter number one, as we are 1 month out. Travis Hunter number one. Ashton Jeanty number two. Cam Ward number three, and Dylan Gabriel number four. Now, maybe that can change. The only way that number one can change for me is if Travis Hunter's just done playing college football. He just wakes up and says, you know what? I'm quitting. I don't care about my team going to the playoff. I'm just off to go get this money. But if Travis Hunter is planning on playing the rest of the season, he has already proven to me that he is the most outstanding player in the country, and I would give him the award.
So here's the thing. I don't disagree, but as I've said many times on this show, it wouldn't be a great radio show if I said, great point, Carrington, applauded and turned my mic off. It wouldn't really move that way.
I'd like it.
I mean, it'd
be great for me.
It'd be an audience of one. We would have we would not be one the way we are right now. We'd be a different one. Here's the thing about that Charles Woodson year that people also don't talk about. Yes, he played both sides of the ball. Yes, we probably do overvalue how much of both sides it was. But you know what Michigan did that year? And this is a problem I have with the committee. It's a problem I have with the Heisman Trophy, but it is a real-life situation. You know what Michigan did in 97? They won the national title.
And they went undefeated.
They went undefeated in the Big Ten. Like, by the way, real quick, sidebar. ESPN now has a 30 for 30 out called the Heisman 97 year.
I actually like that one.
So good.
It is good.
Please watch it. It's incredible.
Really,
but you know who Charles Woodson beat out? Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Everyone said it was Peyton Manning's award to lose. Peyton Manning lost to Florida that year. He was out. Curtis Enos and Penn State, oh, watch out. They lost. They were out. Michigan had to have both the narrative of they went undefeated, they went to the Rose Bowl, they won the national title, and they had to do it on the back of a great two-way player. So I don't disagree. Travis Hunter should win the Heisman, but I wonder if the committee is going to ding him because last time they saw someone be a two-way player, his team, on the greatness of him alone, was in the national title game because that 97 Michigan team was not Brian Greasy slinging the ball all over the yard and Woodson just made a few plays. I wonder if he gets dinged because previously when we saw that, it was a title type of team.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, Travis Hunter is 17th in wide receiver yardage. He's not a first-team All-American. He's tied for 9th in touchdown. He's a great player, not a first-teamer. I watch a lot of college football. You cannot convince me that there are three wide receivers in the country better than Travis Hunter. You can't. I don't care what the numbers say. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State has been amazing this year. Ryan Williams at Alabama has been amazing. The kid down in Arizona, how do you pronounce his first name? McMillan? Phenomenal player this year.
Burton. Another name.
He's been all right.
He's been okay.
Yeah, he's not. Burden shouldn't be in this conversation. You know, I would love to put Luther Burden in this conversation. Luther Burden has not been a player that is worthy of this conversation. You cannot convince me that you are making a list of top receivers and not putting Travis Hunter on that list. He's going to have over 1,000 yards. He's going to have double-digit touchdowns, and he's also playing both ways. I'm sorry. He's one of the three best receivers in the country. He is. I'm not putting anybody else ahead of him in that conversation.
It does feel weird. And I don't know if this is the texter's point. It feels weird where Travis Hunter's great at both offense and defense, but I don't think he's the best player at either position he plays. But that's where his value is. He plays the two positions, but I don't think he's the best corner in college football, and I don't think he's the best receiver. But he's in the top 10 of both, which is where his value lies. But if the say it out loud test, the non-top corner in college football won the Heisman feels like, are you sure?
Yeah, because I'm looking at the list. I just pulled it up. I mean, I have no disrespect towards Nick Nash at San Jose State University. You're not convincing me that guy's better than Travis Hunter. I'm sorry. That's not where I am. Or Andrew Armstrong at Arkansas. No, the guy's not better than Travis Hunter. I'm sorry. I've watched him play. I'm sorry. No, he's not. Coming up at the top of the hour, Rob, let's switch and let's talk about college basketball. I can't believe that it's here. I'm excited about it, but we got to talk about Kansas. They got a game tomorrow against North Carolina. Rob is just taking personal days and days off on a Red Friday. He's taking a day off so he can go watch a November college basketball game. It's disgraceful. He's not committed to putting the best product out for you guys. I'll be here tomorrow because I care. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.